I love the sound of breaking glass. J'espère que vous êtes bien à notre écoute. Notre lunchtime en anglais continue avec la chronique Breaking Glass de Dennis Brough.
This is Bro on the Art World Beat, and today we're breaking glass at Nantes on the trail of Jules Verne, Phantasmagorical Machines, and the Slave Trade. In the elevated quartier of Chantenay, where access to the sea is protected by the watchful eye of Saint Anne, Mary's mother, a little ways further along the embankment, a starry-eyed boy gazes at an intense sea captain with sextant, who is himself contemplating the passage to the ocean and to wider adventures. These twin statuary gazes are those of the young Jules Verne contemplating his future most famous character, Captain Nemo, who will roam the ocean in a submarine in 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. 150 years after Verne's writings, which predicted the submarine, space voyage, and what became deep-sea drilling, this summer, the city is again populated by infernal machines of all sizes and stripes in a green line walk outlining 43 museums and installations as the city continues to remake itself from industrial port and shipbuilding center to technological, architectural, and cultural center. Sprawled on the grass next to the statue of the boyhood Verne were Africans, themselves emigrated to this former French capital of the infamous Atlantic slave route, only this time having undergone an opposite trip from Africa to France to make their fortune. Nantes, the sixth largest city in France and the center of Brittany, which in the Middle Ages and in various ways beyond resisted incorporation into France, is a port city near the mouth of the Loire River, a region famous for its castles, wine, and biking routes following the meandering of the river across the region. A shipbuilding center in the 19th century at the high period of French industrialization, with that industry having closed its doors, the city has had to revitalize itself and integrate itself into a global technological economy. Nantes' future, though, as the walk along the trail exemplifies, owes much to its visionary past and is descended from Verne's sense of adventure and recounting of the thrill of inventors mastering the elements, which today is also questioned as former visionary contraptions now must be integrated into a depleted planet. The contrast between technological prowess and more simplified natural structures is highlighted in Oscillation, where a seemingly shimmering all-natural wood pathway calls attention to its difference from the iron and steel girders being raised across the street in a construction of Layal, a new mall on the model of the shopping village that replaced Paris's once lively food market. This installation is one of many on the island in the middle of the city, the Île de Nantes, which also brings Verne-like animal mechanical devices to life, including a mastodon whose snout sprays passersby, and a giant spider who seems to have materialized out of the backlot of the film version of the Wild Wild West. They are part of the laboratory of designers Pierre Orifice and François de la Rosière, termed Le Machine de Lille. The island contains the architectural school and boasts a series of entertaining exterior wonders, including three-way table tennis in Ping Pong Park, a building with a hulking metal skin which whispers in what its creator Rolf Julius calls an audible facade, and a sculpture composed of food packing crates which contained local produce called Splash, protruding from the side of the Atlan Bois building, which inside contains a replica of a forest in which you can wander or sit. On the mainland, in traversing the city, the path begins with the L'Unique building in the spiraling shape of the LU brand of biscuit or cookies, which was part of the city's factory heritage, but which has now been converted into an art space, this summer honoring Swiss artist H.R. Giger, most famous for his creation of the monster in Ridley Scott's Alien, and whose mixing of man, woman, and machine suggests a latter-day version of the ghostly apparitions of the Austrian artist Alfred Kubin. On the mainland, near the Loire, is Boris Chauvelin's half-eaten Ferris wheel, stuck in plaster, peopled by seafront plants titled The Missing Part, La Part Manquante, an eerie Coney Island-type reminder that ocean and beach fronts deteriorate. Further along is the spookier Les Instruments, the instruments, creepy mechanical animal dolls, such as the mouse who giggles as behind him a paintball projectile sprays the wall, in an homage to Jackson Pollock's drip-dry technique, but also a frightening and chilly retort to the violence behind contemporary games that is the echo of the violence that circulates in society in general. Two major cultural institutions are also a part of the trail. The Beaux-Arts, the Musée des Arts de Nantes, has reopened this summer after 6 years with a new design by the London team of Stanton Williams, award winners for their compact execution of the Samesbury Laboratory at Cambridge. Their Beaux-Arts design has delightfully opened up the interior display of the museum's over 900 objects by segmenting the building into a cube, the main area for modern art, a chapel for contemporary exhibitions, and the rectangular palais for the museum's historical collection, ranging from 13th to 19th centuries, and including two Bruegel landscape miniatures and a stunning Rembrandt portrait of a grizzled and lined old man. Meanwhile, the Opera House, Théâtre Groslon, thrown open to the public in its off-season, and which next season boasts 9 productions, inside flies the black anarchist flag, which mechanically sways above the orchestra seat, and Nicolas Darrow's Black International, where the back-and-forth wavering duplicates and adds an element of worker participation to the conductor's commanding of the orchestra in this memory of the city's worker activist past. The Jules Verne Museum itself is a tender and more old-style look at the Nantes native and prolific author's creations, whose 65 novels, not to mention plays and poems, many of which have become films, besides 20,000 Leagues, include Journey to the Center of the Earth, Around the World in 80 Days, and the novel which became Swiss Family Robinson. Verne's novels also dealt with topical issues. His 1878 boys' adventure, Dick Sand, a Captain at 15, about a whaling boat which must be navigated by an apprentice, is also a late highlighting of the persistence of the slave trade, which, as the book would have it, was still going on in 1876, the year the action takes place, and a book that is a softening and popularizing of Melville's Innocence at Sea and Billy Budd and the cruelties of the slave trade in his Benito Cereno. Part of Nantes' wealth was accumulated in the Atlantic slave trade, of which Verne was well aware, as the city was said to have launched 27,000 ships and transported over 550,000 Africans from the slave fort in West Africa to the New World French colonies of Haiti, Guadeloupe, and Martinique, from which they returned loaded with sugar cane and cocoa, harvested by these same slaves. Below the rampart on which stands the Verne Museum is the city's memorial to the abolition of slavery, where above-ground visitors walk on the names of slave ships, a walk of shame and reversal of the count in Hollywood celebrity walks. Below is a tracing of the years each country abolished slavery, which in France began under the Revolution, but which was returned under Napoleon, not to be finally abolished until 1848, and then the decree grants the slave transporters an additional 2 years to implement. The monument, which does not take up the question of reparations for the part played by the slave trade in the fashioning of this exquisite city, nevertheless completes the art trail with a stark questioning of the origins of the cultural capital necessary to finance a modern city and a qualification of its historical legacy. This last leg of the journey deepens the art trail experience in a way that makes for a more complex understanding of the nature of the global. This is Bro on the Art World Beat, Breaking Glass at Nantes, and signing off. I'll be with you again in 2 weeks from Venice, where we'll be talking about the Venice Biennale, art in general in Venice, including a spectacular exhibition by Philip Guston, and the Venice Film Festival. See you then. Oh,
Dennis Bro is the author of Film Noir, American Workers and Postwar Hollywood, Class Crime and International Film Noir, and Maverick or How the West Was Lost. His current book, to be published in 2018, is hyper-industrialism and television seriality, the end of leisure and the birth of the binge. Change of mind, sound of breaking glass. All around, sound of breaking glass. Nothing new, sound of breaking glass. C'était Breaking Glass de Dennis Brough sur Art District. Très bonne suite de nos programmes jazzistiques et artistiques. À notre écoute.